Welcome, everyone. This is the special meeting of the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1. It's the Board of Commissioners meeting. Today is Tuesday, July 13th, 2021. It's 3:03, and this meeting is held remotely under COVID-19 emergency rules. Again, the public can call in at 509-473-0276 and enter 942-127-913 pound to join the meeting. Let's see. So, Steve, will you recall or do a roll call for us, please?
Absolutely. Commissioner Clary?
Present.
Commissioner Lindstrom?
Present.
Commissioner Lehman?
Present.
Commissioner Lachine-Sides?
Here.
Commissioner Loring? And Superintendent Butler.
Present.
All present except for Commissioner Loring.
Okay, so shall we just dive right into our agenda here? This is our special meeting business. The first item here is Resolution 21-548 to adopt a revised 2021 San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1 budget. Nathan, would you like to kick us off on the discussion?
Do you want to take public comment before or after we?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's not written on here, so I completely spaced it. I'm happy to do whatever. Public comment now is fine. If anyone on the line has anything to say. Should we wait till after discussion?
Sure. We can go through the budgets and then ask one more time if you like.
Okay, that sounds fine. Okay, then I'll let you lead off on the revisions to the PHD budget.
Sure. Good afternoon, commissioners. Thanks for accommodating this meeting today. So in developing this budget, we went through this with the Finance Committee. So Commissioner Lindstrom and Commissioner Clary have reviewed every line item here in detail. And there's quite a bit of detail in the spreadsheets themselves, quite a few notes and things. And were you guys all able to access the notes and the spreadsheets?
I was.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I believe, you know, we sent these out last week, so people sort of had time. So I guess I would defer to you just a little bit. You know, do you want me to go through all the main line items, or did you have specific questions you wanted to ask?
I don't wish to go through all the main line items again myself. You know, I think there are just a couple things that a few revisions that stood out to me, like the previous tax rate calculation was not correct, and so that's been adjusted. We are, needing to hire, and so we need to approve this budget so we can move that process forward. So to me, it all made sense, and I really appreciate your detailed work on it. Oh, there's Kyle.
Hello, Commissioner Loring.
We were just getting to the questions about the revised public hospital district budget.
The public hospital district budget has not been changed radically. You know, I've tried to track the HRSA money in a little more transparent way. You know, the rows with HRSA money are highlighted in green. And at the bottom, there's, a line item total for the HRSA money. And it largely offsets the revenue versus expenditures. The reason why the total budgeted amount for the year is down is because we're both spending and receiving less HRSA money overall. Originally, we planned on spending $300,000 for I'm estimating substantially less than that. But what, you know, the rest of the budget is pretty straightforward. You know, we did set aside a little bit of money for, you know, replacing some old medical center stuff. We have updated Mount Baker Planned Parenthood amounts. We only owe one payment to Mount Baker Planned Parenthood due to the overpay last year, and then, but we owe two payments to both Community Paramedicine and the Prevention Coalition. But we've done a comprehensive audit of all the payments to make sure that we're where we need to be on those to our different subsidy agreements. We're definitely fine with Peace Health. And we're running a surplus this year. So that's good. Any questions on the PHD budget?
I had a question, if I might ask, on those missed payments. I assume you figured out how that happened. Sounds like we missed a year of payments to the Prevention Coalition and Community Paramedicine. And do we have a system in place to make sure that doesn't happen again?
Yes. The payments were never authorized last year, and I will definitely authorize them this year. Usually that's done after they make their presentation. And so we have gone ahead and talked through with each of the entities to make sure that they understood where we were at and what the plan is. So we will disperse those funds on time this year and apologize that happened.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if it's a calendar reminder or asking them to send us an invoice or what, but whatever mechanism we need to trigger that would be great.
Go ahead. Traditionally, they came out of the warrants that were cut at the end of July. So hopefully by the next warrant period, we'll be able to send those out.
Sounds good. Thanks.
It just didn't happen last July for whatever reason. So we did a pretty comprehensive audit going back as far as we could to make sure we really were, you know, correct and where we needed to be. So we went in and dispersed the payments for last year. And then after July this year, if it's over, we'll make the other payments.
Well, I move to adopt the PHD budget as amended. Resolution, what number is it?
21-548.
21-548. Right.
That's my motion.
I second that motion.
Is there any further discussion on the revised budget? In that case, I'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, commissioners.
So our next item is resolution 21-549 to adopt a revised 2021 Salmon Island EMS. And I guess more appropriately, this is the budget that we need to approve so we can hire and move forward on a few projects. So in that case, I'll let Nathan, do you want to speak to that?
Sure. You know, the 2021 revised budget does a lot. There's, let's see, 8 different spreadsheets. There's just a lot going on. When I emailed them out to you, I tried to explain kind of how to read them, but even reading over my own email, I was like, wow, that's not straightforward. So sorry about that. There's just a lot going on here. So the green tabs, the 3 green tabs are really where the main show is. They're the data. And those green tabs populate the white tabs, which have a chart, and then separate the data differently so you can see materials and supplies versus personnel, and I've got some pie charts and things that make me look like I know what I'm talking about. And then, of course, we got the reserve budget, and there's no changes to the reserve budget. That's pretty much the same. So in the green tabs where, you know, I've input the 2021 proposed revised budget, the column is gray, and that's what you're voting on today. is that 2021 proposed revised budget. To the right of that, you've got the adjustment. It shows you how different it is from the former budget. And then on the far right, there's a white column that says transferable to the fire district, which is, you know, research that I use to help Chief Collins with his budgeting process for an integrated system, trying to capture what expenditures and what revenues are likely to be captured in a combined service. Also, this is your first exposure to the 2020 actuals. You've seen the 13th month revenue and expenditure reports from the county early in the year, but this is the first place where you've seen it comprehensively in one spot. It's pretty heavily annotated. And, you know, this year, as I've kind of said to all of you at one point and another, this year was really the year to settle one-time expenses, to take care of overdue financial issues, whether it's paying back GEMT money or paying off the ambulance, whatever else. And so I wanted to see kind of where we really at. If you take out all those one-time expenditures, what is our budget likely to be like next year? And so the red tab on the far right, a prospective 2022 budget, and even though we're quite a ways away from a 2022 budget, tries to capture, well, what is this like without all those one-time expenses? And we're now planning for capital improvements. Most of the expenses this year were unplanned expenses, or, you know, there was not adequate capital improvement planning. So, you know, the 2022 prospective budget still includes annual transfers to reserves for capital improvement needs. So that 2022 budget should be a basically self-contained budget. I mean, that's like a budget you can run with that includes adequate funding to update your fleet as you need to retire things, adequate funding to pay for staff. And then based on that, I created a budget for a prospective fifth EMT, which we would use to cover time off for staff EMTs. One of the challenges we have is, you know, we employ four staff 911 responder EMTs and four paramedics. And the paramedics are on a totally different shifting system. We don't tend to be stretched thin there because of how their shifts work, but our staff EMTs, they're in the station and we're definitely struggling to cover people's time off because we basically have the minimum staffing necessary to do so. In a larger agency with tons of volunteers, we wouldn't necessarily have this problem. We could cover staff PTO time off with volunteers, but that always feels just not quite equitable to be paying a staff member a full wage, and when they're gone, you pay, you know, $50 or $100 or whatever it is to a volunteer. It never feels great. And you're expecting them to do the same job. But more than anything, we just don't have the people for it. And if we're trying to cover for staff EMTs with volunteers, that'll be the only thing our volunteers could do. Having done the math, you know, we're more and more relying on overtime from other staff EMTs to cover time off. I estimate it's hard to estimate because sometimes we are able to cover it with a volunteer or per diem. We had three per diems, but one of them was going off to medic school. One of them really didn't like filling shifts. And the third can't do it on their own, and they have a regular job. So trying to estimate the cost of that fifth EMT, which is really the one of two major changes to the budget that will last past this year. And trying to estimate that cost was not easy. I estimate it at about $35,000 a year. Meaning sort of a, you know, the difference between what it costs to pay a mix of overtime and per diems and what it costs to hire another employee to cover those shifts. But it will, I think it will help retention, it'll help take some of the pressure off of our staff. I think overall is a necessary move. Then the other thing these budgets are, that you can see in these budgets that was kind of hard to plan for was adding that fifth paramedic, which, you know, we're paying a stipend for now, but then at some point next year, you know, they're just going to be paid as a paramedic. So estimated that as best I could. I really think we're fine. The budget is pretty strong. We paid off the building this year. We paid back GEMT money. We paid the EMTs for their back pay. We resolved a lot of big one-time things. And this year sets us up well for next year. And that's been the goal. There's been some income constriction. I think our ambulance service fees are recovering. I was looking at last year, you know, we tend to get a ton of receipts in fall after budgeting is more or less done, and start to feel really nervous in September, but then a lot of payments come in because your high volume months are over the summer and there's a delay in billing. But I think our, you know, we're set to do at least as well as we did last year based on call volume. And we ended up with $393,000 in ambulance service fees last year. So I'm estimating $400,000. If anything, that's probably conservative. And the reason I didn't estimate higher though is because the year to date isn't particularly high. It's $133,000. But I think that's just because the billing we're seeing now is from winter. And it really starts to pick up by April, May. And that billing hasn't come through yet. And then the other issue is that ACH grant used to support GE and to support our community paramedicine program. And we have gotten word that that's up for another year. So we do get that $72,000 next year, and that sort of takes some of the pressure off of us. So that's sort of the top level overview. But let's look at revenue first. And were there any specific questions on revenue? There were some significant one-off revenues that we are not likely to have next year. We got money from the sale of some assets. You know, we surplus that old ambulance and an old Sprint rig. And we also got a random large donation of $25,000. That's not likely to happen next year. But other than that, I think our revenues are really pretty straightforward. You know, we get an assorted timber tax, leasehold tax. You know, there's a few little grants. There's a little COVID funding. But mainly you're just looking at the GEMT funding. And I'm not going to launch into that here. If you guys want to talk through how the GEMT funding works, I'm happy to. I think the note that in there that explains it is more than a page long. It's very complicated, but I did look at that pretty carefully. And then there's, of course, our property tax and ambulance service fees and the ACH funding. That's really our main four sources of funding. The GEMT funding, broadly characterized, as basically, you know, you're getting funding from the interim fees, and there's also funding from a settlement fee. And because we had to pay back money, we're only getting interim fees now. But next year we'll get settlement fees, which is kind of like the total amount of money at the end of the cycle that you get a year later. So we're likely to get more GEMT money next year than we did this year. We're just sort of delayed on there. Did anyone have any questions about the revenue?
I don't think so. It was so thorough, the budget and all the detail. At least I think it was for Everett and myself. I'm not sure for everyone else.
Thank you for your thoroughness, Nathan. So appreciated.
I made Commissioner Lindstrom and Clary go through every line item with me. They wouldn't speak to me for 2 weeks. No, I'm kidding.
No, it's great. I feel like I have a very comprehensive understanding of where we're at, and that's our job. And I appreciate you making it as painless as possible. Does anyone
Kyle have a question?
Yeah, anyone have comments?
No, I didn't actually have a question. Okay. No, thank you. I had on the other budget I did. On this one, I did not. And I do appreciate all the notes that we can click on to highlight, because when I thought I had a question, I usually answered it that way. So No, thanks. Very helpful.
Good.
Awesome. Well,
I would echo that it was extremely thorough. And also when estimates were made, you know, you can estimate high, middle, or low. And I felt like the estimates were conservative and realistic, but conservative. And so that also makes me feel good about because you have to do some sort of estimate about what's going to happen. You can't see the future. So that also makes me feel good about this budget.
Well, I'd like to make a motion to pass Resolution 2549, the 2021 proposed revised budget of EMS.
Did commissioners, do you want to talk about the expenditures at all, or are we ready to move on to the...
Is there anything you wanted to mention on expenditures, Nathan?
Hey, why don't I second that motion, and then we can have this conversation during a discussion, just to tie up that little knot.
Sure.
There you go.
Okay.
Thank you. And that was 21-549. And on expenditures.
You know, actually, I don't really have a lot more to say about this. I kind of covered most of the highlights. Mainly, we just did a lot of really big one-off things, so it looks like we blew a lot of money. We didn't, and we aren't. It's all necessary stuff. I feel like it gets us to a point where our budget and our cash holdings and everything are a lot more realistic reflection of what we actually have. Instead of a bunch of liabilities and unresolved issues, we now have an amount of cash that represents where we're really going to be at. And that puts us nicely for next year, but whatever it is we're up to, whether we're integrating or not, it puts us in a good situation. And it's sure nice to own the building. So I guess I don't really have much to add on the expenditures, but if commissioners have questions on any of the items, I'm happy to answer them.
I'll just add on to that. You said it looks like we blew a lot of cash, but we didn't. We did spend a lot of extra cash this year. I mean, that's true, right? Over $600,000 on a building, and then also some repayments that were legally required for our GMT and over $100,000, you know, $100,000 to $200,000 on there as well. So that's a pretty significant amount, but one of those is to pay down a debt, and the other was, again, legally required. So I feel like the books are cleaner, at least until we find out that they're not next time. But certainly they look that way. So thank you for helping resolve a lot of that, you know, and finding those as well.
There was also the discrepancy in the EMT wages too, which took an incredible amount of energy on Nathan's part, and you know, it was good to get that cleared up and people are paid what they're owed.
Yeah, we've got good union agreements. You know, Dean, the union rep, and I joke that I'm creating more work for him than any mainland agency, but we managed to, you know, work out a lot of major things, and I think we're in pretty good shape.
So is there any...
I do have one more question going forward. I just noticed that for the reserve, we're talking about adding, what, about $110,000, I think, each year kind of going forward. And does that feel like, or based on your accounting so far, does that look like a number that will compensate for the needs that we would have that would arise? And I know there are a lot of questions also about integration and how that would change, but if things were to go forward with the current model, would we be saving enough next time we need an ambulance or a Sprint rig or some other major capital investment?
I appreciate that question. I'm really proud of this. You know, in the fall, we passed that capital improvement plan, and it does seem like that capital improvement plan has been a pretty accurate assessment of what our needs are. That $109,000 a year means that as long as we set that aside every year, when we need that new ambulance in 4 years to replace an aging rig, we'll be able to afford it without spending $300,000 out of our general fund. Like, the money is there. It means that our budget is going to be a lot more consistent year to year. It won't bounce around quite as much, and there's money set aside for what we need, and there should be money as well for replacement of, I think the next rig that's up for replacement is the community paramedicine vehicle. I think that's from 2007, should be replaced in the next 4 years. So yeah, we're setting aside what we need, and it's doing what we needed to do. It doesn't take it. It doesn't contemplate unexpected expenses of any kind. It's not designed for like a renovation of the building or anything. It's just designed for mainly our fleet needs. And our fleet has gone from aging and struggling to being a lot more up to date. You know, we got the new Sprint rig, the new ambulance to do this fall. We've done some updates to our current ambulances. We're running better rigs. It's a little safer. You know, we've even upgraded our rigs, put in cameras around them, that kind of thing. You know, a lot of quality of life changes that help our responders, and I feel really good about that. And so should you. I mean, we've invested in our people and in our fleet, and it's more functional as a result, and it should be sustainable.
Great. Does anyone else have any further questions, comments on the revised Long Island EMS budget? In that case, since we've already had a motion and a second, I would call for a vote to approve a revised 2021 budget. All in favor?
Aye.
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 There's Trish. Okay, that's unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you, commissioners. I appreciate it.
Thanks for your work on that. Our next item on the agenda is our new hospital district logo.
Do we want to try audience participation again, or we?
Oh yeah.
Sure.
May I also say that Catherine Clary wants to speak but was unable to before, so.
Is she on the phone?
Hear this. She's on the phone. Can you advise her on how she can speak?
Star six.
Did she walk downstairs where Everett's sitting and speak next to him? Should work.
Should work well.
Or is she at work?
Idea. Gail, that's is very she, efficient.
Do we have her muted?
Yes, but she should be able to unmute herself if she presses star six.
Huh.
Hello.
Did that work?
Hello.
Catherine? Hello. Is that? Can you hear me, Catherine?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is. So you know, I would love to participate in the logo, but there's no visual for the people on the phone, right? So and your guests don't have copies of anything you're talking about. So that's just an aside. But the question the question I had for you earlier was, when are you going to start meeting in person again?
It's a great
question. We should have a copy of all the documents on the website. Have the logo.
Okay.
The budgets are on the website. The logo is not, I should say.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I'm just pointing out so you understand the people, anybody that might want to be participating, it's very limited, right? So that's all I'm saying. But anyway, I would like to know when you're going to meet in person again.
She's just trying to get you out of the house, Everett.
Is there, on that side, is there a way to upload, by the way, that logo document pretty quickly to the website? Steve, is that something you might be able to do?
Absolutely, I can do that.
Okay, that's great. So any of the callers
can find Microsoft Teams, do you have to pay for Microsoft Teams in order to get a visual?
No, you just have to download the app to your phone.
Okay, so it's like Zoom, except Zoom kind of automatically downloads it when you join the meeting, kind of. You still have to have it on your phone. Okay. Because it does seem like on Microsoft Teams, I see a lot fewer people, and they don't seem to be able to get on the video, whereas on Zoom, even if you're not on the video, you see the video, too. You can see it, but not yourself.
Right. Teams does have that capability, and they have an app for phones and iPads and stuff like that.
Well, the link that Steve sent out doesn't have any option for any kind of visual, only a telephone call-in. Unless I'm totally missing something.
Catherine, this is Nathan. If you want added to the list of people that can join the Teams meeting, just have to let me or Steve know. We can certainly add.
Okay, I would like that. I mean, I'm on the email list. I got the agenda and everything, but no way, no invitation for the audiovisual part. Just a telephone call in.
Yep. We, you know, a few months ago, we sent out an email inviting people if they wanted to be on that list to let us know. But we maintain a list that has, you know, people that like to be invited to the Teams meeting. And then we just post the phone number to the website for everybody else. So all you got to do is just let Steve or myself know, and then you're added to the list of people that get invites to Teams meetings.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that, Nathan.
Now that I know, I'll make sure you're invited.
Thank you, Steve.
Send Steve an email with the address you want used.
Okay, will do.
And then to the question of when we are meeting in person.
Quick follow-up on that last bit. Can we give Steve's email address to the public right now? Is that all right? Others, if they're listening and want to also be added to that list.
We can, but it's hard to spell, and it is on the website. But feel free to read off your address, Steve.
Yeah, it's very difficult. It's WAMBSGANSS at SJCPHD1.org. But it is on the website, and it's listed under public records and also, pretty much all over the website. So feel free to just reach out to me, and I'm happy to add anybody to that list.
Thank you.
Well, let me share my screen. I apologize. It's going to take a bit longer. The website pages are taking way too long, but I'm going to share my.
Well, can we discuss the question that Catherine also posed to us about when we are meeting in public?
Oh, okay, sorry.
I'm not sure what the MRSC has said lately. Nathan, do you have information on that?
The advice, sure. So the advice from MRSC is pretty consistent with what we discussed at our last regular board meeting. At the last regular board meeting, we discussed that it was likely that the state would not require us to meet in person, and that if we did, we would be required to offer a remote option. The state is taking a conservative approach and wanting people to have an option to meet remotely, but recognizing that many small agencies, even smaller than us, would really struggle to be offering hybrid options. So they basically said the baseline choice here is remote meetings. And if you want to have in-person meetings, you need to offer a remote option. And that doesn't seem likely to change anytime soon. When we talked at the last regular board meeting about this in June, we agreed to sort of follow the lead of the county council on this just for the sake of consistency. But that doesn't mean we can't change our minds and do whatever you like. So in the meanwhile, Steve and I are working on a hybrid option if you elect to go that route. So, but it's a board decision, they're board meetings. So it's up to you commissioners, and we will support you.
Can we offer audio only as that sort of hybrid option? If we met in person, can we just do the audio?
Yes. Yeah, we're not required to offer a full Teams or Zoom experience. We can just offer a conference line.
Okay.
The state requirements for board meetings, you know, actually this came up in a meeting I was in the other day. We're not required to record meetings. We're not required to have video. We're not required to post things on the website. We do all of those things because we're a transparent organization that tries to make ourselves available to the public. And the state is trying hard not to pin us down and make things hard for us. The main thing is people have to have an audio option to participate remotely. That's the bottom line.
Thank you. I appreciate your input on that.
Thank you, Catherine. I look forward to being able to meet in public again. I'm not sure how the rest of this board feels, but if there's a way that we can meet publicly and provide an audio option for those that would still like to be participating remotely, And it wasn't too difficult on our staff to make something like that happen. I think it would be nice to maybe look to doing that for our board meeting at the end of the month. Crickets. Okay. I don't know how everyone else feels. You're welcome to weigh in. Or we can talk about logos.
You know, I'd love to start meeting in person again. So, you know, I've had enough of virtual meetings, actually, and maybe the rest of the community has too, whether people showed up.
Yeah.
I'm certainly open. This is Trish. I'm certainly open to meeting in person. So.
I will say that I
know, do we need it?
Good.
I was just going to say, I'll go with majority on this.
Yeah.
I'll say that for the next meeting, I will probably be coming back from off island, and I would rather it be, it'll be remote for me. It'll probably have to be remote for me. So as a first step, maybe we could do August so we can prepare to be in person as well with our calendars. Cause sometimes, remote has made it easier in my life to be at my office, to be able to do work, to be able to, you know, be doing various things. So multitasking. So I'm happy to, and some of us are off island. We've had people off island right when we met in person. No, I guess we haven't. So yeah, I've gotten so used to that. So anyway, I'd rather start in August if we're going to start. That's my point.
Okay. Thank you. Kyle, how do you feel about meeting in public?
I'm ambivalent. You know, it's kind of watching how things change with my own comfort level being around folks. As you know, I support the greatest amount of transparency we can do. Obviously, meeting remotely is far superior to meeting in person for the ease of doing the work, because we have our computers, we can scroll through the budgets, we can click on all sorts of, you know, like five. Well, you know, you have like 10 windows open at a time, right? Or 20 windows open with all the different things for the day. That's much easier than doing it in person for me. But I understand that others have that desire to meet in person too. And then I want, if I can get to something just in a minute too, speaking of something I noticed while I was moving things around on the computer.
Sure.
Oh, I'll do it right now. I think we might have two of the same resolution numbers for this year. So I just thought I'd mention that as I was organizing. I have two resolution 21548s. So let me know if that's wrong. One was the closing. Maybe we didn't ever vote on that one. I just moved it anyway. Closing of the Medevac fund, refund checking account, which is the same number I have for the budget, one of the budget ones today, the PhD budget.
Oh, interesting.
I think that number was wrong and we had to, yeah, you might be right actually.
Or maybe there was a final number change on that one. You know, on the one I have, it says 540, but maybe it was a 547. I don't seem to have one of those 547s. Just thought I'd mention that while I was organizing my files here.
We will correct the numbers if they're wrong. Yeah.
Thanks.
If we're done with that discussion, the logo.
Okay. Hello, everybody. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. Hopefully it'll work this time. Let's see, there we go. Okay, can you see my screen here?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. So these are the four, we have six logos that were created for us to choose from. These are the four that I worked with the designer to narrow it down to. And I was just, there's the number one and number four are my favorites, I'd say up front, just because of their ease of use and the ways that I can see them being used. But they all have some really good qualities to them, I think. And it's basically up to you guys, whichever one you want to go with. As soon as that's done, then we'll, you know, we can have letterhead worked out and all the different, we're going to revamp our web page to be a little bit easier to move around in. And we'll use the logo and the color schemes and everything to, that go with it. Does anybody have any comment on it?
I like number one.
So this is Catherine. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I found the budget and the logo sheet on the website. So thank you for that. Okay. My vote is number two.
Okay.
I like two also. Not quite as much as one.
I'm a big four fan. I like four. I think two is just too medical, even though we're a hospital district. I mean, hello, but it just, I don't know. It just seems so done, overdone. I don't know.
It seems more EMS-y to me, number two.
That's exactly, yeah, thank you. That's how I felt. Yeah, I love the sunrise. I love four is very soft and gentle. One red, very, just as just me, but it seemed to kind of have a religious feel. It looked a little more like a religious cross than like the Red Cross, kind of. But that's just me.
I see that. I can see that.
Yeah, it just, when I first looked at it, my first impression is, oh, that's like Catholic or something religious when I look at number one. I think my choices were three and four.
We have to take the cross back, Trish. Come on.
Take the cross back.
Yeah, it's just the crossroads between the physical and spiritual plane.
Okay. Okay.
That's all right. It's maybe lost on the public.
I didn't get that either. Like number three, too.
Yeah, I think three is lovely. Three to me is just clean. It's it looks very professional. It's I love the teal color with it. I think it's really nice.
Can others weigh in?
Okay, have it. Do we have Everett? Do we have Annalisa? Kyle and Ev?
Kyle?
Annalisa?
I'm down to three and four, and probably four. I think the little bit of yellow in that grabs you a little bit more, grabs the attention a little bit more. I think it is not too big, doesn't occupy too much space. Three and four both look good. It would be a toss-up for me.
Oh, and I guess that's what we're doing. I don't have any really strong feelings. None of these I looked at and said, oh, yeah, that, I feel like that really represents us and what we do. But two was probably the one I lean towards just because it's the cleanest of all of them. You know, and it's just two-tone. I don't know. The others all. Well, I don't quite get number one. You know, four hearts and a cross just seems like it's kind of busy. A lot going on.
Well, no, those are just showing different ways that it can be used and the different colors. But
I mean the four hearts. You know, there's the blue heart, the white heart, the blue heart, the white heart.
Yeah, but that is so. Yeah. It basically, it's just showing it different being used in different ways. So it's just the one there. It's just one of the quadrants that we're voting on. But so it would be this one, but then we could use it as a white on a blue or a colored background. So there's different ways that it can be used.
So. Yeah, no, I see it, the negative. And that's, you can do that with two as well. The other one's not quite white as well because they have more color. But, like, again, I don't, it's not important to me.
My, sorry, I thought you were about to say something. You're muted, though, Annalisa. No one can hear you.
Sorry. Go ahead.
My issue with number three is that it's pretty similar to the Peace Help logo. Peace Help logo is like a dove, but it has those same strokes. I kind of had a similar reaction to Kyle. I didn't really fall in love with any of them, but probably all of them are preferable to the, sideways parentheses. That's our current logo. I guess really I like number two quite a bit. If we were sticking with EMS, if we weren't integrating, that's where we were going. And know, like I would really like number two, but if we're moving towards long-term care and we're not going to be doing EMS, I really would lean towards number one. I really like the logo on number four, but it's not medical at all. You know, it could be a parks and recreation district or really anything, but it is a neat logo. So I didn't have especially strong feelings. You know, overall, I lean towards the first one.
So,
We're kind of all over the place. It sounds like I don't really care for the heart and the cross at all. I don't like number two, because it just makes me think of, you know, an EKG machine. And I like the font on number four, but I'm ambivalent about the sunrise. I don't know. I mean, it's positive. It's a little cutesy for me. And then number three, I'm not wild about the font, but I just feel like it might be similar to the Peace Hall logo, but it is maybe the most serious and like non-religious, non-partisan looking to me, I guess.
Well, so three to me speaks to synergy. We can change the font and make it the same font that's in number four. It's actually in the same sort of family, and so it won't be hard to change that. And so I like all of them in one way or another. I like four because it's a sunrise and because it's non-medical. We could be a bit over medical if we went with the heart and the cross. But I do like the synergy that's shown in number three, the kind of sense of coming together. And it could be seen as a dove, but at the same time, it's a non-religious version of that concept of peace coming together as a, you know, people coming together to solve problems. And that's also the waves under number four are different things coming together and to create this sunrise, to create something different. Mm-hmm. So that's where I stand. If I took number three and changed the font, would you guys be up for that?
I think I would like that better.
I could live with number three.
I'd like to see three with the change of four's font. I'd like to see it in a bold and the way it reads, but with that font in four.
Okay.
It would be two choices.
Okay.
But that's because I'm crazy about typography and I sort of like, you know, all of that.
That's perfectly fine.
Can you add a little surfboard on number three?
Oh my God.
A whale.
Okay, I'll come back to you guys later on in the next couple weeks with two finalists, okay?
Okay, sounds great.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.